This is Halftime with the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show, The Playmakers, that airs on WANM FM 90.5 every Saturday from 12:30 to 2 p.m. It's the one and only Jeffrey Hood Jr. in the building. In this episode of Halftime with the Playmakers, we'll be recapping the FAMU versus Miami game, previewing Florida State versus Memphis game, as well as taking a deep dive look in college football and seeing what matchups are we looking forward to in week three, as well as discussing the Tyreek Hill traffic stop. But to help me with these amazing topics, I have some amazing guys in the studio with me, and also a new face in the studio with me.
What's going on, everybody? Slim trimming the cut, aka Mr. J Score, aka Shoo. No bad takes.
Oh, brother. What's going on, y'all? New to the show? It's your boy EJ Robinson, EJR3. I'm gonna give me a little intro, but you know, good to be on the first show.
What's up? It's your boy GT. They call me 3P, coming out to 912 Savannah, Georgia. CPO. Let's get it,
fellas. Let's hop right into it. Miami beat us 56-9. Now, last episode, Mike, you did say you sniffed the upset, but this is far from it. Just you guys' thoughts on the game.
The biggest win from FAMU was coming out with minimal injuries. Pretty sure it was going to be an upset. I did expect FAMU to put at least 17 on the board, but I mean, when you're playing against a team that's what, top 10 now, you know, it's hard to, you know, that goes to show that talent gap between FCS and Power 4 teams. But they got a bye week now, and this is a time where they need that bye week just to kind of be able to rest their bodies. I mean, they not been in three dog fights so far, but you know, I don't think they're really holding their head down to it. I'm not gonna say that they went in expecting to lose, but I mean, you playing against one of the best teams in the nation, so
you know, we pulled D Rich out the game. First of all, the game was, you know, it is what it was. You know, we played Miami, powerhouse contender for that, you know.
You also said you sniffed the upset at that too.
I did sniff an upset. You know, I just had faith in my school.
Nothing's wrong with that.
D Rich completed 13 of 17 passes, 76% completion percentage. Yeah, he had that one ill-advised throw that, you know, got tipped into an interception. But outside of that, I think he played a great game, and he's continuing to show me that, yeah, he's a better quarterback than previous ones we've had. Well, the previous one we had the last 2 years. But when we subbed him out, you know, I was thinking maybe I could see some life in the team, and that's the opposite of what I've seen. Junior had an 18% completion percentage, 7 total passing yards, and a negative 12 rating. I've never in my entire life seen somebody have a negative quarterback rating. I just want to throw that out there. But defense, I think the defense did a lot of good things. They got pressure on Cam Ward. I just think Cam Ward is just an exceptional talent, evading that and completing a lot of passes like between the numbers. I wrote an article and I, you know, spoke about that, about how he attacked the middle of FAMU's defense a lot, and that's where he converted a lot of third down conversions and a lot of fourth down conversions. So I think that's one area that we can work on, probably the linebacking core. The linebacking core in the middle of the field. That's the big thing I've seen from FAMU that, you know, we can probably take away and, you know, take that into swipe play.
Going into the game, definitely didn't expect the upset like Trim, but did expect at least a touchdown from FAMU, gotta be honest. But DR, other than the interception he had, I feel like he had a pretty decent game. At half, he had 13 for 17 with 135 yards. Felt like, you know, offense, I would have liked to see a touchdown out of them, but ultimately, like I say, they play pretty well. When it comes to swipe play coming up, I think they'll be able to hang in there. Do agree with Trim. I think DR is a better quarterback than Musa from last year. So I believe, you know, as we go forward, the defense, 56 points is a lot, and hopefully we can, like, you know, tighten it up. I'm looking forward to the Troy game coming up, see how we would play against them on defense, but it's kind of my biggest issue or concern for me, at least, the defense.
You know, I'm glad that we came out healthy, but I was at least expecting a look. You know, that first drive, we gave him a good look until, you know, penalties came into play, but this wasn't the look I was expecting for when I kept saying give him a look, you know, give him some type of action. But at the end of the day, yes, it is Miami, so I kind of expected it, but I expected at least over 10 points, you know, like get in the end zone a couple times. But it is what it is. Hopefully, Troy, we should win that game. I believe we're going to win that game. I don't know how you guys feel about that game. Y'all can say what y'all feel, but I think we are.
Troy is definitely a winnable game.
It's winnable. I think we lose, though, but it's winnable.
Yeah, I don't know if they win, but I think it's a...
Definitely should get a tie.
I'm saying we win. No, yeah. It's a winnable game, but I'm also adding we win.
We win? Okay.
Yes.
I don't know nothing about Troy.
They 0-2. I know that.
Who have they played?
They played Iowa this weekend. They played against Memphis. Lost to Memphis 38-17. Lost to Nevada 28-26.
I think that'd be a close game. I don't know if it'll be like, you know... Well, we haven't even had a convincing win this season yet, but I think...
Yeah, that's true.
I think it'll be a closer
game. But we're due for one, though.
I'm
not for gonna lie,
if they beat Troy, like, I know they feel Celebration Bowl still this season, but if they beat Troy,
that's a statement.
That changed the whole trajectory of, like, how the SWAC may look at FAMU, because I know a lot of people may feel like they're vulnerable. But to me, I feel like it's a two-legged race in the SWAC anyway now between FAMU and Jackson, since Alabama State quarterback out for the season. So
Makes sense. Now, fellas, move across the track. Let's talk about the Bad News Bears, the Florida State Seminoles. They're 0-2 now, and they have a home game this Saturday against Memphis. Fellas, what does Florida State have to do to get a win after the previous games you guys have saw?
I think it's pretty obvious. Need better quarterback play.
Much better.
I don't have any intel on it, but I'm pretty sure DJU is probably going to start this game. So maybe after the bye week, after having a stinker in that game against Boston College, hopefully he come back with a renewed outlook, got in the film room and, you know, got with his receivers and things, and maybe he'll have a better output. But he needs a good game, because then at that point, it's like the pressure is already there when people chanting, "We want Brock at your home field." But
yeah, because you were there. I heard through the TV.
Yeah, I was there. So I was there in the crowd. I wasn't working in the press box, nothing. I was in the crowd. You know what I mean? So it was pretty loud in there. He was getting some boos. So he got to come back and turn them Seminoles fans into his fans once again.
I'm not going to lie. I think Memphis might win this game. Just looking at it, FSU looks terrible. And Memphis has had two convincing wins this season. Their first one against North Alabama, granted it is North Alabama, and then their second one against Troy, granted it is Troy, so this would be their toughest test. But the way their season's going so far, and the way their quarterback Seth Hennigan is playing, I believe that's his last name.
Yeah,
Seth Hennigan, is completing 70% of his passes, no turnovers, they're running the ball effectively right now. I just think Florida State, I think they're in panic mode right now, and your DJU, under pressure, he's not the best quarterback. Even not with pressure, He's not the best quarterback. So I'm just like, I don't know. I think Memphis wins this game, and FSU season just goes up in flames. It already went up in flames, but now it's like ashes and stuff like that.
Yeah, this is a must-win for FSU, no doubt about it. No other way to put it other than DJU has to show up. This is a must-win for him. I can't see another way. He's got about the same yards as Hennigan already in the season. So other than DJU, though, I would say I got to see the rushing game get better with FSU. I got to see a little bit more out of their running back. So in order to beat Memphis, I think they beat Memphis. I don't see them losing, but I think it's a statement when they have to make. So
y'all blame DJU, which respectfully he deserves all the blame, but let's talk about that defensive line. The defensive
getting
line
ran all over by Trayshawn Ward.
263 rushing yards.
Trayshawn Ward came
versus their 21 rushing yards. Come on, fellas.
I like Boston College, though. I like Boston.
But did you come in that game saying, oh yeah, they're going to run 200 plus yards on them?
Not 200 plus yards.
Because
it's going to be a rushing game.
Because you have to think about it. Florida State came in with a top 10 recruiting class, well, transfer portal wise, and majority of them was defensive purposes. So if you look at this, 263 rushing yards, that's embarrassing.
Very.
That is very embarrassing. Yes, he can't really make throws on the field like you expect him to do. But at the end of the day, it's both sides. Eagle side should be blamed for it, not just DJU.
I just want to throw this out there. DJU's last 14 games, he's completing 57.5% completion percentage. That's like awful.
It's awful, no. But you have to realize 263 with Boston College on the ground rushing. And in the first game, Georgia Tech week zero, it was 190.
And I think we all said that we need DJU to have a good game for them to beat Memphis. I predicted Memphis to win this game because.
So they go 0-3.
Yes, yeah. And their season goes in ashes. Like, it's not, it's already in flames, but now it's in ashes now. Like, I just.
So 0-3 start. Is everybody on the 0-3 start?
No, they're winning this game. That's a statement win. I think DJU understands that. I agree with you about the defensive line. I need to see less than 100 rushing yards from Memphis in order for FSU. Because again, like you said, top 10 recruiting class. The defense line has not delivered as so far. So I gotta see the defense line step up and DJU step up.
Man, look, I'm gonna go in and say this. Now, DJU, don't make me look bad, but I think he gonna come out and light it up on Saturday against Memphis.
Oh my goodness.
He has no choice because Cal just beat Auburn last weekend. So Cal's not like a pushover.
Yeah.
So if they don't win this, I don't see them winning anytime soon.
Man, he about to light Memphis up.
I agree with that. I like that take.
Memphis might knock the logo off his helmet.
All right, G. So when they lose, or if they lose, just know I'm pulling this audio clip and I'm putting it in the group chat. Just know I'm pulling this audio clip because you like to say, oh, I didn't say that. Well, you don't got no record to be saying.
He gonna light Memphis up. DJU, don't make me look bad. He gonna light him up. He gonna keep his starting job, and FSU gonna be 1-2.
1-2. Can they turn it around, though, if they get this win right here?
Man, they got to win the ACC to get in that playoff. Yeah, or they going to be playing in the Cereal Bowl.
Cereal Bowl is crazy.
I think they could run the table and still miss the college football playoff. They might miss the ACC championship game, depending on Miami and, let's say, Clemson hypothetically runs the table, and they only have one loss.
You still got Clemson running the table?
I didn't say that. I got to look at their schedule again. But
speaking of running the table, Notre Dame took a ugly loss against Northern Illinois University last Saturday as they won 16-14. It was kind of a slow-paced game, not very pretty. But just thoughts, do you think Notre Dame could potentially come back and make a name for themselves in the college football playoffs?
That was some good football that I watched on Saturday when they played NIU. But they got some tough games on their schedule. They got USC the last week of the season. I'm not even going to look at Florida State. They're not a non-factor in this conversation. They got Louisville. So those are probably the two biggest games they have left on their schedule, Louisville and USC. And I think USC will win that game.
You don't think Georgia Tech?
Oh, I was going to say Georgia Tech as well.
You just casually skipped over Georgia Tech?
Might be. Georgia Tech, that's going to be another good game for them. But, and at Notre Dame, they struggle with NIU's defense and their grittiness. So, Georgia Tech game, I shouldn't have skipped over that. That's on me.
I think Riley Leonard had a good showing at Texas A&M, but then coming to this game, I thought he was gonna have another good showing. But when you look at the stats, I mean, 20 for 32 passing completion wise, 163 with two interceptions, not even a single touchdown. That's bad. That's horrible. That's not bad. That's horrible. With a 25% QBR, that makes it even worse. I think it really came down to Riley Leonard's gameplay. I mean, the running back room was there, wide receiver was creating separation, offensive line was great, defense, they've kind of been put in bad situations because of Riley Leonard's play. I think it really came down to him, though, if you ask me.
Definitely, because if you're an offense, I mean, if you're a defense and you're holding the team to 16 points, you should win that game if you're a team of Notre Dame stature.
Riley Leonard, I don't believe in Riley Leonard. I don't see Notre Dame turning around. I think they dropped all three of those games, USC, Louisville, and Georgia Tech. I know that's a strong take.
Whoa.
I know it's a strong take. But what I've been seeing out of Notre Dame, I don't believe in it. I don't like Riley Leonard as a quarterback for Notre Dame, and that's just kind of where I'm at right now with the team. Seeing the last two games they had.
But this is an ugly loss, though. I was finna come on here. Since they beat Texas A&M, I expected them to beat Northern Illinois, but they didn't. I was going to come here and say, as long as they stay perfect, they're in the college playoffs. But now you got this ugly loss sitting on your resume. It's kind of like, are we going to take you serious? And are you going to be able to step up in big games?
Absolutely not.
No, they're not making the playoffs.
I'm not going to lie. Where they lost to NIU, that's a black eye. I'm not even going to lie to you. I don't know.
So they're not sniffing it?
How do they even make it in anyway? They ain't even part of no conference. They got to get in at large. Yeah. They got to get it at large.
Yeah.
That's what make it tough. Unless they like go out, blow USC out.
They gotta
blow Louisville out.
They gotta get some convincing wins.
They gotta get some convincing wins against these ranked teams for them to snap back from that.
So y'all think Riley Leonard is able to turn it around and get them convincing wins?
He's not, no.
I hope so.
Why not, EJ, since you said why not?
You pointed out his stats. 25.8 QBR rating, two interceptions, zero touchdowns against NIU. Against NIU?
Yeah. That's bad. Yeah, no.
Come on now.
It's bad. But you're able to turn around, though.
I get like him turning around, and as Trim just said, hopefully he can for Notre Dame's sake. But it's just looking at that, knowing who they played, seeing how last game went, I didn't believe in them last game either. I think that the trend keeps up. I think next game is the same. I don't think they get any convincing wins. Even if they beat the USC or if they beat Louisville, I don't think Riley Leonard plays good enough to get a convincing win to get them in the playoffs.
That's fair. We're going to talk about another college football playoff team, the Oregon Ducks. Now, week one, they played against Idaho, and they only won by 10. The following week, they played Boise State and won by 3. Are you guys still considering Oregon as far as a formidable contender in the college football playoffs?
Yeah, but I don't think they'll get in because they might get in. They might get a bid because they have Ohio State. I think they'll lose that game. I think they can beat Michigan the way Michigan looked, but yeah.
That's not alarming to you, though? You went by 10 against Idaho and then follow up the same week and went by 3 against Boise State.
But Boise got some guys.
Boise has one guy. One. And that's the running back. One guy.
He's special.
You've been playing nice.
This isn't track. It's not a one-man sport.
Now, 3 points is alarming. It's alarming, first off. Oregon, like, how they been playing the last two games, 10 to Idaho, 3 to Boise. That's alarming. But looking at their schedule, I see them getting into playoffs. The only concerning game for me is Ohio State, which they'll lose. Might be the only loss of the season for them. So with that being said, I think they do make the playoffs at least.
UG?
At the very least.
That Ohio State game might be a little tough, but I mean, if they win that one, they pretty much set to get in as long as Ohio State stay on the same track. Michigan, I think it could be Michigan. So, I mean, I think they still got a chance. I mean, it's early in the season, man. You're going to have those scares at times. But, you know, the good thing is, you know, if your team responded, then that's a good sign. So, I'm not going to overreact on the close wins about Oregon just yet.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you're in a close game and your team responds, you know, gets the job done, I'm cool with that. Win's a win.
Unlike Notre Dame.
But against a mid-major team,
Boise's
really?
Boise's not a mid-major.
They're not in Power 4, sir.
What conference, Dan? The MAC?
They're not in Power 4, so that's what I'm saying. Mid-major.
They're in the Midwestern Conference.
Mid-major, yeah.
No, they're supposed to win that by a lot more than 3 points.
They're supposed to blow the doors off.
Yeah, but they won, so I have to give them.
At the end of the day, they won.
Another team we're going to talk about is Alabama. Roll Tide. They played against USF once again. Close game all the way to the end. Were you concerned at any point about Alabama's offensive game where it came to the passing game or the running game?
They won by 26 points.
Throughout the game, before it turns to a blowout, were you nervous about the passing or running game? Because at first, the running game was not really there the whole entire game, if we're being honest. As far as their schedule, looking down the games to come.
I'm more concerned about the passing game than the running game.
And why is that?
Because Jalen Milroe, I just want to be able to see him throw the ball accurately. Like, he has a strong arm. It's similar to Anthony Richardson. He has a massive arm, but can you hit those short and intermediate routes? You know, the what's it called, like the dink and dunk game, you know, the check downs.
If you can
get those, I believe they have obviously an undefeated season waiting for them.
Passing game for me as well. The rushing, but the first three quarters, the rushing game did look suspect, but the fact that it did turn around, they finished with 199 yards rushing as a team, I'm not mad at that. I think, you know, as the season goes on, they'll continue to have a good rushing game, or at least establish a rushing game. But passing wise, I gotta see more of Jalen Milroe passing the ball. Gotta see some of his receivers, you know, eclipse 100 yards receiving. It's just, you know, that offensive passing is not solidified on it as of now.
Yeah, I'm gonna piggyback off of them and say the passing game too. I'm just looking at the numbers, 17 to 27 for 199 yards. Jalen Milroe was yelling, "Give me the Heisman last year. You ain't gonna win no Heisman in 199 yards." So he gonna have his real test in a few weeks against Georgia. You know what I mean? So it's gonna be interesting to see. But that's what rushing is gonna work for itself. But let's see about that passing.
I think both have to take a big jump, but one that really needs to take a jump more is the rushing game, because you go against Wisconsin this week. Wisconsin is not a pushover. That might be a tight game all the way to the end, like this USF game. But I will say, the Georgia game, everything has to be stepped up. Everything has to be taken a notch higher, because you're defending your home. It's Kalen DeBoer's first time against Kirby. And if the passing game and the rushing game is not there, it's going to get ugly in T-Town really fast. And then just going down the schedule even more, you go against Tennessee. Tennessee is not nobody you could just take lightly on. And you're going to answer Rocky Top. And Rocky Top is not friendly to any guys coming in with that. So the running game has to step up. They have great backs in my eyes, but I think that to take them over the top, I think both have to go to another level, and the running game has to take a step higher than what it is now, because it's not going to get them to the playoffs, let alone SEC championship.
Y'all think Wisconsin could upset this week? It's going to be a good game.
It's going to be a good game. I don't think they get upset them, though.
Yeah, I don't see an upset. I don't know. USF, I guess they just got that matchup on Alabama, because they just do it. I mean, they're not necessarily a weird team, but Brown, that quarterback, like, I remember seeing him at FAMU. He was like, you can't stop bro from running for some reason. You know what I mean? So I just think they got
He was like prime Cam Newton Auburn days. I'm not going to lie. But, fellas, just to end out the college segment, what week three matchups are you guys looking forward to, and why?
I'm going to say the game that we were just talking about, the Bama and Wisconsin game, just to see how Alabama bounces back from, you know, kind of a scare against Wisconsin, because like you said, Wisconsin not really a pushover. So I think we'll learn a lot about Alabama this weekend, and then they go on that bye week, and then September 28th, Georgia. So
this might be a crazy game, but Boston College versus Mizzou, newly ranked Boston College. I don't know why I'm high on Boston College, but I don't know why I am, but I'm liking Bill O'Brien over there. I'm liking the team. I like Thomas Cassianos. I'm liking everything about them. Mizzou hasn't allowed a single point this season yet, so, you know, seeing how Boston College's offense matches up against them, that's gonna be really interesting. So I'm gonna be tuning in to that.
Yeah, I agree with EJ, Boston College and Mizzou. I'm a big fan of Luther Burden's game, so seeing him play against that Boston College defense that, you know, put FSU in shambles, it's going to be exciting to watch.
I'm surprised, since you're on the DJ Lagway train, I'm surprised you wasn't going to say Texas A&M at Florida. I'm surprised you weren't going to say that, because that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, it's not on here. Oh, yeah, DJ Lagway, he's a problem. That's a future superstar right there. You know, go Gators.
Hey, we got this on file. So Buckeyes, go Gators. What else?
Go Buffs. What you mean?
Colorado, who's next? Who go ahead and say Roll Tide.
Nah, not Roll Tide.
Hook them. Hook them on the board.
Nah, that's, well, when Arts get in the game, yeah.
So Hook them's on there too. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, my game is Texas A&M at Florida just because of how DJ Lagway looked in his first game last week. He looked exceptional. I mean, for a freshman to do that.
Sensational.
See, I'm not going that far. But I think DJ Lagway has a chance to break out against Texas A&M. You know, Mike Elko is a good defensive coordinator, good defensive mind. So if he steps up this game, I think it should be no doubt he should start over Mertz, if you ask me.
Nah, he should be starting, like, for the rest of the season.
I mean, they said they were going to split from time to time, yeah. But if he steps up here, there should be no doubt
he's going to start. They're going to win. They're going to beat Texas A&M. They're going to be 2-1.
What's the score prediction since they're going to be?
Score prediction, I'm going to say
nothing crazy.
26-17. Lagway throws for about 250 to 300 yards.
All right, you know, I'm going to keep this on you now.
Two tuds.
All right.
You know, he's like, just watching his post-game interview, like, he has this aura about him that I've only seen from a couple quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes, CJ Stroud. Like, it's just something about him that I think makes him special.
You really like Lagway, don't you?
Yeah. So, like, you know, in 3 years when it's him and Raiola fighting for that number one pick spot, you know, I'm going to ride with my guy. Well, they're both my guys. You know, Raiola, baby Mahomes.
But I guess you like Nebraska too, 15.
But
I get you like Nebraska too, that's your 15.
But yeah, it's really go Gators though.
Over everybody? Go like Gators over?
Nah, go Buckeyes.
I thought it was
you don't know it, this man, honestly.
It's just depending on who playing at the time.
Okay.
Well, we know who's gonna be playing as we're gonna talk about the NFL. You have one player that you like.
Three-peat. Let's talk about it.
But before we talk about that, we're gonna jump into the Tyreek Hill traffic stop incident where Tyreek Hill was pulled over before the game by Miami-Dade County Police and he was forced out of his car. Just what's your guys' thoughts on what you saw on Twitter or on Instagram or wherever you saw it at?
Tough situation. I hate that Tyreek Hill actually went through that. And when you watch the video, it's crazy because it took less than 1 minute for the police to approach his car up until when he was on the ground getting handcuffed. And I was like, it's crazy how fast things can happen. And I mean, we all black men in here, you know, we already know how it is. You know, in my sense, if I get pulled over, I'm trying to, you know, get up out as fast as possible. You know what I'm saying? I ain't doing too much talking. And it's just so disheartening that it happened right outside, you know, his place of employment. So, I mean, I know they said they're going to do an internal investigation and full transparency, but I mean, we saw the body cam, you know what I mean? So what's to investigate? They're all, you know, the proof is in the pudding. So I don't know what Tyreek Hill's next steps is, you know, in that situation. I don't know if he's going to, you know, go lawyer up or anything, but it's nothing new. You know, it can't be surprised. It's just been happening so often, but I am happy that he was able to get up and walk away from the situation because there's a lot of people out here that haven't had that luxury of being able to do that.
Yeah, I'm not going to dive too far into it in terms of, like, you know, political or racial injustice, but I like what Tyreek said. Like, what if he wasn't Tyreek Hill? I'm actually from that area. I've driven past exactly where he's been at a lot of times, tailgating Miami Dolphin games, so I know exactly where he was when he got pulled over, seeing the video. It's tough. It's rough. I like what Tyreek said. He came out on an interview, talked about how he knows he could have put his window down, but definitely no way, shape, or form should it have escalated to that degree. So definitely one of those things that you got to look at, and hopefully, you know, the right thing is supposed to happen happens.
I honestly don't know what happened. I just know I seen a video of Tyreek in cuffs, you know, outside the car and stuff like that. But from what y'all are saying, it seems like, you know, we've seen this story before. So, you know how that goes. So yeah, ain't much to say on that.
It was hard watching it because from one side, I've actually been in that scenario over this summer. Mm-hmm. Not like that, like that extreme, but like if I wasn't compliant like that, it could have got ugly. Yeah. I would say that. So just seeing that, it kind of gave me like flashbacks for myself. But you know, from Tyreek's standpoint, yes, he could have rolled down his window just to de-escalate everything. But also, if you watch the video, the police officer even said like, that's Tyreek Hill. Like, so some of them knew in their head, like, okay, he plays for my dog. Like, they know who he was. But for that one officer just to be that extra and go the extra mile for no reason when Tyreek Hill was not trying to bring any problems to the situation, it was kind of just hard, and just how they treated him and Calais Campbell and Jonnu Smith.
Yeah.
And it was just like they were trying to support a friend, a teammate, a brother, and they were even being more aggressive with them, trying to handcuff them, telling them leave your car right here, it's investigation now, just being extra for no reason. So it was kind of hard watching that. But let's get on a brighter note, fellas. Who's after week one, who stands a chance to to prevent the Chiefs from three-peating this year?
Why everybody look at me?
Because that's your team, Trim.
No, that's his player. No, that's his player. No. Not team, player.
Like, that's just disrespectful.
No, Mahomes is nice, though. But
yeah, he is, but that's his player. I mean, he's not a team.
Just nice.
Not
a team. He's generational.
No, okay, yeah, he's up there.
All right, Mike, go.
You know, after watching week one, I'm like, it really didn't tell me nothing I already knew. Like, the Chiefs, I'm a big basketball guy. And watching the Chiefs and watching all these other teams scramble to put teams together, it's like watching when the teams were trying to put together rosters to compete with the 2017-18 Warriors. It's like, no matter what you do, you just can't. They're just better than everybody. And, you know, I've seen a couple teams play. Well, I've seen pretty much everybody play in week one.
Yep.
And the team that stands out the most, yep, it's three teams. First, in no order either. The Ravens, I think they can rock with the Chiefs a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not too much, because obviously the Chiefs always have their number. I think they've only beaten them once in the Mahomes era.
You're correct on that.
And that was obviously a regular season game. The Eagles.
Nice.
I think the Eagles, I like what I seen from Saquon in week one. And then it's only one more team. You know.
Yep. Say it with your chest, man. Say it with your chest, man. I know it hurts.
You don't have to say it, bro.
I want to say it, but it's the Niners.
Yeah.
But I mean, they don't have an elite quarterback. So it's like,
you don't have an elite quarterback.
You're not going to win playing with a mediocre quarterback.
Hold that elite quarterback though. I got some numbers to back that up. Go, EJ, go.
I actually don't have a team. I'm not gonna lie. Mainly because the biggest problem with the Chiefs last year was their offense. Mm-hmm. This game that just happened, they didn't have Hollywood Brown, and they looked actually really good on offense. I cannot lie. Travis Kelce only had 4 targets, and somehow they still end up looking, you know, Rashee Rice looked good, Worthy looked great. The fact that the Chiefs offense is rolling, if they can stay away from injuries and they can keep like a healthy defense and a healthy offense, I actually see them three-peating. I feel like they're a team that knows how to win, especially when it comes down to it. So if they can stay healthy come playoff time, they could very well three-peat in my eyes. I don't see a team matching up with them.
I'm going to say the Ravens is one team. I mean, it seemed like Lamar Jackson joked about it and said that's a kryptonite, but I feel like eventually the Ravens are going to get over that hump, you know, when they meet the Chiefs. Another team, I'll say the Eagles. You know, I know the Chiefs not got through them before, but that Eagles team looked pretty good. I'm not gonna lie, with Saquon, you know, if everybody's wondering if Saquon fell off, and I was like, man, Saquon going ham right now. So I mean, those are two teams that come to mind. A team that may be non-traditional, I'll say, though, I'll say Detroit. Like, Detroit had a very good year last year. I actually would have liked to see Detroit in the Super Bowl last year.
Well, that didn't happen.
but I mean, they had a pretty good Sunday night game. You
they
know,
did.
coming out on top in overtime. You know, Dan Campbell, I mean, it's hard not to like him. That's just a team. That's a dark horse team I throw out there, too.
For me, starting with the AFC, I like the Ravens a lot. I mean, you lost by, what, a couple inches, when I feel like if they got the touchdown and go for two, it's going to get 2-point conversion. That's the game right there. So I like the Ravens out the AFC. And, Mike, you said we don't have an elite quarterback.
Oh.
According to Pro Football Focus, highest grade quarterbacks in week one, Brock Purdy, 89.6. Sam Darnold, 88.1. Patrick Mahomes, 87.9. You heard those numbers, right?
Clearly it's flawed if Sam Darnold's higher than Patrick Mahomes. Like, bro.
It's not flawed. Anyways, everybody knows what I'm going to say. It's the San Francisco 49ers. Even though we did not have the best offensive player that's a non-quarterback, our playbook was cut in half. We had a good showing. We could have been better offensively, you know, settling for a lot of field goals, but that's due to not having Christian McCaffrey. I will say that. Another team is the Detroit Lions, like you said. They built it up the secondary very well. You have Brian Branch, Terrion Arnold, and the crew. Offensively, they look like they didn't miss a step, if you ask me. The Lions didn't miss a step offensively. Other than Amon-Ra St. Brown selling my fantasy. But but other than that, they look like they didn't miss a step. You look confused. You look pondered.
You said Christian McCaffrey's the best offensive player that's not a quarterback.
Non-quarterback.
Right.
On their team, I thought.
Yeah.
On
yeah.
the team?
Yeah.
Or in the league?
In the league, non-quarterback.
Over Justin Jefferson?
Who won Offensive Player of the Year?
Over Justin Jefferson?
Who won Offensive Player of the Year?
Jed has missed like
who
8
won,
games.
Who won Offensive Player of the Year?
He missed half the season and
who
still
won
had a
Offensive Player of the Year? Yes or no question?
Yes.
Christian McCaffrey won Offensive Player of the Year.
Thank you. Point blank period. What are we talking about right now?
Who won MVP last year?
Who won Offensive Player of the Year?
Who won MVP?
Bro, we're not talking about that.
No, who won MVP?
We're not talking about that.
Who won MVP?
I said
did the best quarterback win MVP last year?
And fellas, I said non-quarterback, right, fellas?
Yeah.
Right.
Thank
no.
Thank you.
Right.
So what are
no.
we talking about?
No.
What are we? I said non-quarterback.
I understand that, but you said he won Offensive Player of the Year. That doesn't mean he's the best offensive player that's not a quarterback. Because if we're going by that logic, is Lamar Jackson the best quarterback in the NFL since he won MVP?
Mike,
just answer the question.
I keep saying.
Just answer the question.
Mike, I keep saying. Mike, I kept saying non-quarterback.
I understand that.
Non-quarterback.
Right. But by your logic, you're saying since he won Offensive Player of the Year, he's the best non-quarterback. quarterback offensive player. So by that logic, you're saying since Lamar Jackson won MVP, he's the best quarterback.
Is he not picking up what I'm saying?
Are you not picking up what I'm saying?
I think what Trim is trying to say is the award doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Like, because the award, like, Lamar got MVP, so essentially if Mahomes is the best quarterback, the award shouldn't matter if Christian McCaffrey got offensive player of the year.
Exactly.
However, given what you said, it makes sense because Christian McCaffrey probably is the best non-quarterback.
There's no probably. He is. He's the best non-quarterback.
He's in contention with two other people.
Exactly.
Who's the two other people?
Tyreek and Jefferson.
Like I said, there's no debate. They're high contentions. Don't get me wrong. They're high contentions, but
you could throw CD in there too.
I'm not throwing CD in.
He's like tier two.
Yeah.
He's like that next door, that next door neighbor. Like, he's not in that room, but he's that next door neighbor. Nothing's wrong with that.
Yeah, I like CD. I like CD too.
I'm saying nothing's wrong with CMC too, but he's not the, like, if I'm picking the best offensive player that's not a quarterback,
I'm going Jettis.
I'm going Tyreek.
I'm going Jettis and Reek over CMC.
Who are you going with?
Best offensive player?
That's not a quarterback.
I don't know. I'm taking Tyreek probably.
Exactly. Yeah.
Over.
I'll say CMC is second for me, then Jettis. I'll say it like that.
I guess,
Jettis,
man.
Problem, bro.
I guess, man. I don't see you guys' logic on that, but it is what it is. Now let's talk about the Monday night game where everybody in the group chat. If you guys don't know, everybody in the group chat always has a lot of rah-rah, talks before the 49ers play. But when they play, everybody's quiet. Quiet as a mouse. It's a pin drop. You don't really hear nothing but me spamming the group chat. But
why you didn't spam during the Super Bowl?
Here we go, bro. I'm not entertaining this. Anyways, the 49ers able to win 32-19. Fellas, was it a bad sign or a bad game by the Jets Monday night?
Just a bad game. First game from Aaron Rodgers in a year. You know, he really 2 years, because he took, what, four snaps?
It was four snaps, yeah.
Exactly, like four snaps against the Bills that game. So I just think it's a bad game. Let him get his rhythm. He might end up looking like an MVP again. Who knows? It's A-Rod.
Bad game. They went up against the defending NFC champions. Which I didn't know y'all got Devonja Campbell. That's actually...
Yeah, we did. We picked him up offseason. That's a good pickup.
But bad game. Played against the defending NFC champions. I could easily see them winning 10 games this season and still making the playoffs. So I don't think it's far-fetched. So I think it's just a bad game for right now.
Yeah, I agree. Bad game. I'm not going to get too overreactionary about it. Like I said, Aaron Rodgers ain't played in a long time. I mean, and them four plays that he played in last year, he was running for his life on all of them. So, I mean, you know, I guess you can say he's still new to the system because he's finally able to mobilize and actually do it instead of, you know, the last year. So he probably just been reading playbooks and watching the film and stuff like that. So I think it's just a bad game. I think the Jets still have a pretty good season. And I mean, they didn't do them any favors playing against the defending NFC champion. So I mean, I think they'll be all right.
I think it's a bad sign just because Hassan Reddick was not there and they keep playing hardball with them. And you have Jordan Mason, who came out of Georgia Tech, undrafted guy, looked like prime Marshawn Lynch, yes. 147 yards on the ground with a touchdown. I mean, if you have Hassan Reddick, that's a whole different story if you ask me. I don't think he has 147 rushing yards if you ask me. I think it's a bad sign, and it could lead to worse things to come if they don't sign Hassan Reddick quickly.
You think Hassan Reddick stopping the run game?
I believe he will stop Jordan Mason going 147 on the ground, even though I love Jordan Mason. But realistically, I was expecting a 147 game. I even put in the group chat, like, when Christian McCaffrey was listed out, I said, yeah, it's gonna get bad quick. But I think they need to sign Hassan Reddick fast, because yes, you play the Titans this week. I had them winning that, but then you got a couple weeks later down the line, the Bills, the Steelers, they like to run. The Texans, you had Joe Mixon go off against the Colts. They like to run. I think you have to sign Hassan Reddick to get these problems out the locker room.
Try to slow down that run game. I can see that. I just see Hassan Reddick as a one-trick pony. But I don't know. That could be because he left the Eagles. So.
Continue on week one. Who was the most impressive team?
You know, I like looking at young teams and, you know, seeing their trajectory. And the team that stood out the most to me, you know, I was going to say the Cards, but then I forgot about this game. I'm going to say the Patriots. They were
first win, Gerard Mayo, yeah. First win.
The way he coaches is inspiring. The defense looked hungry. Granted, you know, it was brought to my attention that, yes, Jamar Chase wasn't at camp, you know, throughout the summer and stuff like that. Burrow, first game back. But still, this is a young team that capitalized on a victory on a veteran-led team. So I think that's very impressive, because, you know, most young teams that end up squandering the win and fold. But the Patriots, they didn't fold. They played Patriots football, ran the ball, played gritty defense, and got out and came out with the win.
My team was actually the Patriots as well. Gerard Mayo's coaching debut. I think a lot of people had them losing, and for them to come out out, not even just defensively, because I love Christian Gonzalez, had Jamar Chase strapped. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see how he goes against DK Metcalf. But I just, Ramondre Stevens on the other side ran for 120 yards in the TD. His past first time starting 1-0 since 2020. So I just feel like that team, the way they came out against the Bengals last week, it's really surprising to me.
I'm not going to lie. I was going to say the Lions again, but I mean, they all kind of made me a believer in the Patriots. Just looking at just everything that was going around the game, you don't know if Jamar Chase is going to play until what, right before the game or the day of, something like that. So, I mean, they probably had to prepare both ways, or probably had to prepare as if he was playing, because you'd rather be prepared for him to play than just be like, oh, he not playing. You know what I mean? And, you know, so you're going against one of the best quarterbacks in the league, one of the best receivers in the league, and coming out holding them to 10 points. I think that's a good sign under Gerard Mayo. And, yeah, man, Stevenson, 120 yards. Like, that's a good sign for them. I'm excited to see, like, this new era of, yeah, of the Patriots. I mean, it's been Belichick and Brady about all my life, so.
Now it's Mayo and May.
Okay.
Anyways, my most impressive team this week was the Chargers. Jim Harbaugh's first win back in the NFL. J.K. Dobbins, a guy that always gets injured. 10 carries for 135 yards. I was very impressed by that. My guy, Justin Herbert, you know, last debate. My guy, Justin Herbert, didn't have the best game, I would say, but, you know, still threw over 100 yards and a touchdown. So I was very impressed. I was very moved. It kind of looked like Michigan football, just a little bit in the running game wise. I'm excited for what's to come. But
Herbert's trash, but you can continue.
I would say the Saints, but I think they just played a bad team.
Yeah, they played a bad team.
Because I think a lot of people had that Saints offense looking absolutely abysmal. So,
but then, you know, the Panthers made them look good.
Panthers are even worse than that. Oh, you a Saints fan. I forgot about that.
No, he's Falcons.
Who's a Saints fan?
That was Malik, but Malik graduated. Yeah.
Free Bryce.
Why is it Free Bryce?
Because he's not the problem. He's a star.
How is he not the problem? Did you not see the offensive line?
Dude.
Six rushes as a quarterback. That's a blessing.
Y'all got to get off them PFF stats.
That's a blessing.
I understand you can't rely on PFF, but like, come on now.
Oh, you do.
Come on now.
What's the next topic?
Come on now.
And before we end out the show, fellas, we're going to do our quick picks for the NFL. Thursday night football, Buffalo at Miami. Who taking?
Dolphins.
I'm going to take the Dolphins.
Say the right thing.
It's in Miami?
It's in Miami.
Oh, yeah, I'm taking the Dolphins.
I'm taking the Bills just because the running back room is banged up right now. We don't know how it's going to look.
I like Jalen Wright.
New Orleans at Dallas. Who we taking?
Dallas.
Of course I'm taking Dallas.
Yeah, I'm there. Dallas too. Tampa at Detroit.
Detroit.
That's a good one.
I actually had the Bucks.
Detroit.
I'm taking Detroit.
I actually had the Bucks. I ain't gonna lie.
That's crazy. Colts at Green Bay.
I got the Colts.
Green Bay.
I don't think
we would know Jordan Love. Green Bay.
Colts. Yeah.
Oh, he out.
Yeah, he's out.
Yeah, he got sprained MCL.
You know, he on IR, right?
Mm, they ain't put him on IR. They ain't put him on IR.
Probably be back in maybe 3-4 weeks.
Okay.
I'm still taking the Packers. I ain't gonna lie.
Noted. I got the Colts. Jets at Tennessee.
Jets.
I think this all should be Jets.
Jets.
Just had to make sure, Trim, because you like to change your answers. 49ers at Minnesota.
So that's going to be a good game.
We haven't won in Minnesota in a minute. I will say that.
Because Minnesota looked good, but they played the Giants. So
McCaffrey playing?
No, yeah, probably not.
I'm saying Minnesota.
Bang, bang, not a game. I'm going to say
Minnesota.
No, interesting.
They're going to be able to stop Mason. They're going to be able to stop Mason.
Interesting. So that's two things on the podcast for you, G. Noted.
I'm going to say the Niners.
Say louder.
I said the Niners.
There we go. You sound confident.
We're playing the Vikings with Sam Darnold at quarterback.
Who you got, Jeff?
Bang, bang, not a game. Come on now. Okay. Seattle at New England.
New England.
Whoa.
I wasn't convinced with Seattle's last game.
I wasn't convinced either, but I'm still rocking with Seattle. Some tell me just go with Seattle still.
I'm going to take Seattle.
He didn't sound like convinced about that.
He hesitated.
Yeah. He hesitated a little bit.
I'm going to go Seattle too.
Yeah, I'm going to say Seattle.
Giants at Commanders.
Jeez, trash on trash.
Nah. that's a JD5 breakout game.
I'm going to say the Commanders.
Yeah, it's a JD5 breakout game for me. I'm going Commanders.
Commanders.
Chargers at Carolina. Chargers.
Chargers.
Free Bina.
Chargers.
Who you saying, Mike?
The Chargers.
You gotta be consistent. Be consistent.
I'm being consistent. The Chargers.
That's not being consistent. We thought you would say Carolina because of Bryce Young.
Just because I'm a fan of his team sucks.
Anyways, Browns at Jags. Who
Jags.
Taking?
Jags.
Jags.
This could get ugly. I might go Browns.
If you believe in that offense.
I might.
You believe in the Browns offense.
I believe
ahead.
In the defense. That's why I'm saying Browns.
Man, I can
watch. You saw Trevor Lawrence play? The Jags win that game if Javon Hunt doesn't force that fumble.
That is true, but Browns always had a defense. Yeah, I can't ignore that.
Deshaun,
they got to work around it. They got to work around it.
Maybe a close game, but until they get Nick Chubb back, I don't see that offense producing anything.
Vegas at Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Rams at Cardinals. Be consistent, Mike.
I'm picking the Cards.
I'm saying Cardinals, too.
The Cards look great in week one.
I think they use MSJ this week coming up. They're going to use MSJ a lot more, and it's going to actually show.
I hope.
Dude, what you looking at me for? They got to call plays for him.
Because Kyler Murray.
No, it's
Kyler
not on Murray Kyler.
He wasn't even looking.
Bro, at Marvin Harrison was wide open.
Yeah. Bro.
And he running around the pocket.
Yeah. Yeah, it is true, Trim.
Rams.
I'm going Rams. Just because of that. Pittsburgh at Denver.
Pittsburgh.
It depends who they play. They got to start Justin Fields.
No, he's going to start. They're not bringing Russ in this environment. No.
They got to start Justin. But I'm feeling Bo.
I don't think Bo. Against
first
that defense.
Okay, I'm about to say, no, against
it's
that defense.
That defense. It's not good for a rookie. That Steelers defense
I'm going
legit.
Bo.
TJ Watt going to be all in his pads. Like, like what?
I'm going Bo Nix.
I got to go Steelers. That defense going to give Bo Nix some problems.
I'm going to say Steelers too.
Cincy at Kansas City.
Tremaine, Chiefs Kingdom. You seen how they just looked?
That's a good game, man. That's a good game.
That's Sunday night?
No, which is surprising. No.
It's a 425 game?
It's a 425
game.
Sunday night is the Bears. But yeah, it's Chiefs, Texans.
I'm going to Kansas City. I gotta go Kansas City.
Kansas City.
I can't
ignore how the Bengals looked last game.
I'm just trying to see which one of y'all gonna hate, just cause.
See, he thought I was for the hate.
You know what? I'm gonna say Bengals.
You don't even believe that.
Yeah, that one ready.
Sunday night, Chi-Town, Chicago at Houston. H-Town, who we taking?
Houston.
Trim, why are you thinking?
What did the Bears
show you last game?
They didn't show me nothing, but they say this Caleb Williams kid nice, so.
He is nice. I'm going
H-Town.
I'm going to go to the Texans, though.
I'm going to H-Town.
Who?
Texans.
Texans.
Yeah, Texans. Monday night, bird game.
Are you looking at me? It's a
We got Atlanta versus Philly.
Atlanta finna get smoked out.
G?
No, you go first, G.
G, who we taking, man?
You go first.
Welcome to Atlanta, baby. You've never been to Atlanta. Welcome to New Atlanta.
That's all not saying to you, bro.
New Atlanta, baby.
That's all not saving you. Pick the right team.
I ain't gonna lie, the Eagles about
the Dirty Birds, boy. I ain't never picking against us. Even if we 0-15, I ain't never picking against us. What I look like?
That's a true fan.
Come on, man.
That's a true fan.
I mean, I'm not delusional about my team, but what I look like picking my team to lose? Come on, man.
We Eagles home, right?
Eagles are home.
We still win it.
Our official home game, not Brazil, that trash behind turf, but Eagles at home, we're winning 30-6.
Oh my gosh.
Dang.
Did you hit the emote?
Six? Two field goals. They might get two field goals out of us.
Dang, he gave y'all two field goals.
I ain't even gonna say nothing. All I'm saying is, welcome to Atlanta, baby.
Mike, who you take it?
Oh, this is gonna be a blowout. I agree with him. It's gonna be a blowout. Eagles gonna have like put up like 35 points plus.
I'm going with the Eagles, but it's not gonna be a blowout.
You think it's gonna be a blowout?
I think it might be a two score game, but not a 3 point plus score game. No.
Okay.
Like against the Steelers, but y'all put up 10 points. Like,
who is y'all? You looking at me? We said it's him.
Yeah, y'all put up 10 points.
First game of the year, man. We trying to get our quarterback acclimated.
Respect.
Like, they kicked six field goals.
Kirk did not look good.
Hey, we held him out of the end zone, though, so, I mean, that's a good sign.
What, you think he's going to help Saquon out the end zone?
No.
Yeah, we could. But, I mean, you know, we just got to put more points. I don't care how many times Saquon get in the end zone, as long as we get in the end zone more times than him.
You're not scoring. Your quarterback is Kirk Cousins right now. What week you think Michael Penix coming?
Regardless, we might throw Michael Penix out there this week, this Monday. Y'all, we need to stop announcing who's going to be the starting quarterback. Just find out when we pull up to the game.
Michael Penix started. Alright.
Well, fellas, this concludes another episode of Halftime with the Playmakers. But before we leave out, we're gonna get into my favorite part, which is the shout outs. I want to first thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shout out to the guys in the studio. Shout out to EJ. First episode down, man. Many more to come. And let's keep being great, fellas.
Yes, sir. Gotta thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Without him, you know, we wouldn't be able to do what we do and do what we love every day.
Drake album, here we go. Come on, give me some Drake quotes and your shout outs.
I'm done.
Thank the Lord and Savior. Thank just, you know, Jeff getting me on my first show. Opportunity is big. Had a blast on the first show. Just turned 21 yesterday too.
Yes,
so
sir.
That was huge. I'm looking forward to many more shows. So yeah, get to it.
Yeah, man. First of all, shout out to God. And also shout out to the birthday boy EJ. You know what my nickname is for him. Shout out to the family. Shout out to the family back home in Savannah, man. You know, always thinking of them. And right now, my favorite number is number 93, because I got 93 days till I graduate. You feel me? So
yes, sir. Halftime the Playmaker is produced in the studios of WANM FM 90.5 and the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.